B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper!
Final hour here, Gasper and Murray minus Murray. Arcan sitting in the big gym seat over here while Gasper sitting alongside. Social distancing all the way over there on the other side of the studio. And B-Rob social distancing even further behind the glass. By the way, Gasper, if you turn around and take a look, you may be sitting on the. You see the handprints on the glass there?
I do. Yes, I see them. Yeah,
they're from this side, and judging by the size, it either has to be Zolak, has to be Flynn, or maybe Ted Johnson. But I don't think Flynn or Johnson have been in lately, and those look kind of fresh. But when's the last time Zolak's even been in here? They had people come in and spray this place down in the middle of our show this week.
In the middle of the show?
Yeah, we had to run a replay at like 8:20, and these people came in and they hosed this place down, and somehow there's still these gigantic gorilla handprints up there from Scott Zolak. I don't understand. Did they miss that window? Like, what happened? How did that? And it's clearly from the inside. I can tell looking at it from here. Those are from the inside. But how did they come in here and clean everything and miss this giant oven mitt up there on the wall? Like, that's crazy to me. Every time I look at B-Rob, all I can see is this big hand.
Yeah, that is weird. I didn't even notice that until you mentioned it. Yeah, somebody was doing something they shouldn't have been doing there.
Yeah.
Every time I'm in here, I see cleaning people, you know, and they're working assiduously to keep this place clean.
Right.
So that must have happened like late at night or something, or I don't know.
Maybe he broke in here, you know? Maybe Zoe just couldn't take it. He broke back in.
Well, the other night I had to come in here after work at WCVB because I realized that, like, last Saturday I had left my lunch tote here.
Oh.
So I had to come in at, like, I think it was last Sunday. I came in, like, after midnight and just rolled in here and went straight to the kitchenette to grab my bag.
Was anyone here?
Yeah. Somebody was behind the glass, and there was like a wave. I had my mask on, but I'm sure that was strange for them. They're not expecting to see somebody come in. It's like a little bizarre.
Yeah, probably not. We do have an update on the NBA, and this is coming from Shams Charania. He just tweeted a link to this at The Athletic. GMs will be able to vote on a series of scenarios for the season format, and this is what they're considering. Number one, and Gasper, feel free to comment on any of these because I'm just reading them now for the first time here and I don't know anything about them. Number one, advance directly to the playoffs. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Directly to the playoffs, 16 teams, 4 rounds, best of 7 with postseason teams based on the standings as of March 12th. Quick comment here. That's what I want to see. Just jump right in. Playoffs start. Let's just go. Come on.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Like, let's, you know, play a couple of exhibition or scrimmages and let's go.
The Arcan vote, and I believe the Gasper vote is for option one, although we haven't gotten to the rest of them yet, so maybe we should hear those first.
Yeah, okay.
Here are the other ones. A playoff plus option. Expanding the number of teams with the opportunity to play, either through holding a play-in tournament to determine the final seeds in the playoffs to be played by bubble teams, which I'll look up who that is. I think Orlando's probably down at the bottom in the East. I'm trying to think. Who's in the West? Portland, you were saying, in the West?
Portland's just outside. Memphis has the 8th spot.
Okay. Orlando and Brooklyn are a half game removed from each other. The Wizards are 5.5 back from Orlando, who's the 8th seed. Charlotte is 7 games back. Chicago's 8 games back. The bubble in the East isn't very big.
No.
But as far as the West, there's a lot going on there. Portland 3.5 back, and they are tied with the Pelicans and the Kings. And then the Spurs are right there, too, only a half game back. So you
let's
have
just call this
four
the,
teams.
Like,
yeah.
Let's just call this the how can we get Zion Williamson into the playoffs plan.
That's probably what we're dealing with here. They would replace the first round of the playoffs with a group stage is also a possibility for playoff plus. If playoff plus, how many teams should return to play? 18, 20, 22, or 24? That's another thing they can vote on. Another option is resume regular season with all 30 teams. All teams play the same number of games. Resume the regular season with all 30 games plus a play-in. All teams play the same number of games, followed by a play-in tournament, then the traditional playoffs. And then There's the playoff plus play-in format options, a play-in tournament featuring bubble teams for the 8th seed, play-in tournament for the 7th and the 8th seed, or group stage that replaces the first round and all participating in groups. Each team plays 2 games against each group opponent. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't even understand this.
Top 2 teams from each group advances to a traditional second round. I don't like that plan.
I don't really get what it is,
but I don't like that plan. Screw that plan. Throw that one out. I don't really even understand what they're saying, but I don't like it. If I can't get through a paragraph describing it, I'm not gonna like it.
So it says, or group stage that replaces first round of playoffs and all participating in groups. Each team plays 2 games against each group opponent and top 2 teams. So that sounds like a soccer format where basically they're going to put them in groups, group A, B, C, D. You're going to play like round robin somehow. Mm-hmm. So that almost sounds like that would be all the playoff teams, though, not just the ones that are out, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you keep that Bundesliga crap out of here.
Okay,
please.
All right, okay.
No, thank you.
That's what that is. That's group, you know, stage play, basically.
All right. I mean, wow. They're really exploring every option here. Like, this seems very unnecessary. How does this even help in the situation that they're in right now? It just seems like that's adding more to the thing here.
I mean, look, Adam Silver's a big soccer fan. Remember, he wants that, like, in-season,
true,
like,
yeah.
League Cup tournament. So this is where he's getting this from. But we need more details on this. Like, does this involve every playoff team? And also, you can never talk about group stages without explaining how big the group is. So they're groups of what? Groups of 4? Groups
right.
of 5? You have to explain how big the group would be. You know, if it's a 4-team group and you're saying you're going to face every other team twice, so that means there'd be 6 games for each team.
What about the play-in tournament for the bubble teams in the 8 and 7 seeds?
I could see that. I know the league wants to I don't hate that. I could see maybe just for the 8 seed. I think it's kind of a ripoff for the 7th, especially if you look at, like, so, you know, who's the 7th seed right now in the West?
Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, the Mavericks are what, 40-27?
Yeah.
So they're going to be out of it with some team that has like a losing record. Mm. I mean, that's what, like, now you're devaluing the regular season. The Mavericks are 40-27. That I knew off the top of my head. So right now, the Sacramento Kings and the Pelicans are 28-36. So look at that difference in games. Like, one of those teams is going to get in. Why play the regular season games then?
Yeah.
That's dumb. If you want to have a play-in for the 8th seed, I'll allow it, mainly because it maybe could help the Celtics if Memphis doesn't make the playoffs. So I'll say you can play in for the 8th seed.
Okay. I think that makes sense for the Eastern Conference, the 8th and 7th seed, because Brooklyn and Orlando are both under 500. And
yeah, but the next team's
seeds.
But the next team's the Wizards, who are 24-40. The Wizards stink.
Yeah, they really
the Wizards
are
have
bad.
No business being in the playoffs.
You're right, but it does in the sense of, okay, well, all these teams kind of suck. Like, the 7 and 8 seeds in the East are both under 500, so I'm okay with putting them under that scrutiny. But you're right, that's not fair to the Mavericks.
It's not fair to the Mavs. The one thing I'll say on the situation with 7 and 8 that could tip it if you're the NBA. So let's say, if you're saying the Nets have to play in, do they all of a sudden put Kyrie and maybe Durant back on the court? Because that would help you if you're the league.
Yeah, that would help them a lot. A lot more people would want to watch that than Caris LeVert.
I'm not even sure Durant will be ready, but I'm just saying, if you have to play in, do you try and put those guys back out there?
Yeah, I think you'd try. You'd have to see how the cosmos are lining up to know if Kyrie would be invested or not. But yeah, I think that's the plan.
I mean, like, they're like, you know, the Nets are 5 games clear of the Wizards.
Right.
You know, I just don't know. I don't like that. If you want to just play in for the 8th seed, I don't even like that, but I'll allow it because you can use this time to experiment with something. And like I said, maybe it benefits the Celtics somehow because it puts Memphis in the lottery.
Yeah. That could help them for sure. A couple more things that they're going to vote on, or that they can vote on. Scrimmage games prior to any restart, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Don't really care. Total regular season games, 72 or 76. I say 72, but what are we at right now? 65,
about,
I think? Everybody's
about 67 or 68, I think, because remember we said the Mavericks were 40-27.
Right.
So I think teams have played around 67, 68.
Yeah, the Bucks are 53-12. Celtics are 43-21. So, yeah, it's around between, it's in the mid to high 60s. I think we can just stop right here. I don't think we need to go to 72 games.
Yeah,
unless they want to do that as part of a ramp up and do that instead of scrimmages, but then those are going to count. Those are going to be part of the record of the year. And I just sort of feel like just start the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, like a team like Portland's played 66 games. Are they going to play 6 more games? I kind of feel like. I would say play 3 scrimmage games. Let's go with the traditional playoff format. Let's just go.
Yeah, I'm with you. They can also vote on this playoff format: traditional, East-West, or reseed everyone. That's kind of interesting.
That is kind of interesting.
I kind of like that idea. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I like that when they were talking about it in baseball, too, with the regional leagues and redesigning it that way. Like, I'm all for stuff like that. I'm not sure if you need to do that here, though.
Well, the one advantage of it is you don't have to worry about the travel.
Yeah.
So if you ended up with an NBA Finals that was somehow Lakers versus Clippers, I wouldn't be against that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't be against it. If they do it, I don't mind it. But I would lean towards just keep the traditional format. And have it East-West.
Yeah. And finally, the last possible dates for finish: Labor Day, which is September 15th, October 1st, October 15th, or November 1st. And Shams goes on to say, as evidenced by the GM survey and conversations to close the week, the NBA still must reach a point of feeling comfortable on a return to play. As Silver told players on a call this month, the NBA will be choosing from a lot of bad options and none that are risk-free. Oof. I didn't know he said that.
Yeah, that's
choosing from a lot of bad options. Oof.
I would say they need to wrap it up by October the 1st. I mean, you don't want to be doing the 15th or November. You really could be into the meat of football season. I mean, you're already going to overlap with football season, but if you're holding your playoffs during the first month of the NFL season, I think you can gain some traction. But you need to, you know, what's that thing? Wrap it up. The wrap it up sign.
Like, wrap it up, B.
Wrap it up. Like, yeah, NBA needs to get the wrap it up sign by October 1.
Yeah, I would agree. The NBA will hold a board of governors call on Friday the 29th, which was a week from yesterday.
Okay.
And we'll see where these votes go. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. What do you think of this? NBA voting on a lot of different possibilities here. Which way do you think they should go? We'll get to that with your phone calls right after this.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It is 12:22 on this Saturday, the 23rd of May. So we're kicking off the summer. Got some big updates on the NBA, what they're going to be voting on, the Board of Governors, next Friday. B-Rob, we got you back there. I know you've been answering phones, a lot of people lining up to talk about this. What are your thoughts on the playoff format, and what would you like to see? You're our basketball Jones back there. What are you sort of anticipating? Which direction do you think you're going in, and what would you like to see?
Well, just from talking to people around the league, I really think while it makes sense to go straight into the playoffs from like where the seating is, what the seating looks like, I feel like the players really want to have some kind of a ramp-up time beyond scrimmages so they don't jump from, like, 2 to 3 months off straight into an intense 7-game series. So that's why I do think for that and for the financial reasons of, like, TV, you know, regional TV networks want to have deals about, there's, like, 70 games as a threshold for some of that for regular season games. So I do think we are going to see some regular season games.
Is that in the agreement? They have to get to 70 at the very least?
I think
they have to air 70 games?
It depends. Each team has a different agreement, but I think that is a common threshold. So I think that's why for all these teams, like you guys said, all these teams that have nothing to play for, I think their owners and even the players there, they want to get that money. And so, yeah, we'll come in and play 5 or 6 games just so we get as much money as possible and lessen the losses.
Okay. You just heard all the options. Which one do you like? Or do you like any of them?
I like a play-in.
Yeah.
For how many teams? Games.
Bundesliga.
Right? It is tough, Chris, because that's a tough question, because the East really doesn't need a play-in. It's pretty much all set there, and then you have garbage teams like the Wizards and the Bulls right out of the mix. But the West play-in situation would be a lot of fun, because not only do you have Zion in there, the Blazers are going to get potentially Nurkic back.
Ooh, good point.
Zach Collins back, who's been out for the whole year, and then obviously Lillard was out too for a large stretch because of the hamstring before things got shut down. So that could be, there's enough quality teams there that, you know, a 5-12 plan, or obviously even a 7-10 plan, that could be a ton of fun. But then how do you do that with the East? Or maybe you just tell the East teams, hey, you know, take care of all these crappy teams that are out of the picture right now.
But when you say 7-10 play-in, so you're that sounds like you're including the Mavericks, who are 40-27, and I just think that's patently unfair for them to have. I mean, they are like 12 games ahead of these other teams.
I agree. So maybe you just do a spot for the 8 then.
It'd be
like 8 through whatever it is, 13, however it takes. Maybe the 8-9.
Memphis down to San Antonio. Yeah.
Maybe like 8-9, 10-11. Is that what you? But see, then that gets tricky in the East, because now it's like, now there's some really crappy teams that you're sort of giving hope to in the East. If it goes 8-9, 10-11, like in the East, 9 is Washington, 10 is sharp. The Bulls at 22-43 would get to play for a playoff spot.
I know, which is wild. So I would honestly
that was their record the first year in 86 when Jordan played against them, right? They were like they were the bottom of the 10. I think they won like 35 games that year. They were terrible that year.
I mean, you're looking at teams that have winning percentages below 400 in the East that would suddenly be able to make the playoffs. The Wizards, the Hornets are 23-42. That's a 354 winning percent. I mean, to me, that's just a joke. Like, why play the season then? You know, I honestly think, and I know I said this before, and I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, B-Rob, but I think the need, that wanting to have a play-in comes down to wanting to put Zion in some sort of showcase. Bottom line, it's not about, you know, getting Damian, and I love Damian Lillard. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but it's not about giving Damian Lillard a chance or the Spurs a chance maybe make the playoffs again or the Kings to get in. It's about, can we get Zion into the playoffs?
Yeah. And for the Celtics, getting that Memphis pick back in the lottery.
Yeah. It's like, can we get Zion and Ja Morant to have to face off against each other for this playoff spot?
And I think for that reason, Chris, like around the league, this is why the play-in, my guess is not going to happen because the stuff you just listed right there. There's enough of a case where it's not like 68 games is pretty close to a full season as is. And so with the, even if they play 5 or 6 regular season games, it's going to be tough for anyone to catch the Grizzlies. So everyone has a pretty good case that the playoff field is where it belongs. What I would like to see though is some regular season games to have the seeding shift a little bit in both conferences just to mix it up. And that would particularly interest the Celtics because you would get to have a chance to avoid Philly in round one if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they get to 72 games, because you're looking at a lot of this now, you have a team like the Blazers. The Blazers have played 66 games. The Grizzlies have played 65. So, and there's a 3.5 game difference. So you're giving them a chance. It's not a huge chance, but there's a chance there if you get to 72 for you to catch them. And like I said before, like from Man of Steel, like Krypton had its chance. Portland had its chance. You had 66 games to catch the Grizzlies. We'll give you an extra 6. And if you don't make it, too bad. No play-in. We're moving on.
I'm with you. I just say start the playoffs right now. And that's not good news for the Celtics, but I'd rather do that than have to cut through all this red tape here. It just seems
I kind of like B-Rob's idea to play in for the 8th spot, but it's just not equitable. Like, it's completely...
It makes sense for the West and not the East.
It does, and you can't just do it for one conference. That's the problem. If it were different in the East, then I'd be on board with it because I kind of like the concept. But I just think it's so unfair that it's like you can't do that. Like, and you can't throw these loser teams into the playoffs. And like, I don't know, B-Rob, do you know where's John Wall at in his rehab? Like, is John Wall gonna come like out of nowhere and suddenly, you know, the Wizards make the playoffs and or the Wizards win this play-in with John Wall there? And it's like they stunk all season long.
Yeah, it's a great question in terms of Wall. I assume he has no interest. It's like the Durant situation. Like, none of those guys have any interest in coming back for in a spot like this. I would imagine that's not going to change for those teams, because even if those guys are back, they're not going to make any serious noise in the postseason. But you're right. It could be a game changer for a number of teams in the field and like give some unfair advantages to teams that just have sucked for, you know, 80% of the season.
Yeah, no question. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Got a lot of people waiting patiently wanting to talk about this NBA format, so let's get to them. We'll start with Sorja in the car. Hello, Sorja.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening?
All right, so I consider myself a reasonable man, but this plan is bonkers, all right? I mean, you can't – I don't know where to begin. I mean, why is the NBA focused on getting these measly teams in the playoffs when you should be really worried about the whole structure? Let me give you my structure right here, okay? I just looked it up. If this play-in method would really make sense, let's say the Pelicans are a half game out, or let's say even the Wizards are a half game out, maybe that makes sense. But in the East, the 9th seed was like 5.5 games out, and in the West, the 3.5 games were out. You had your chance. You blew it. Move on. Here's my plan. Ready?
Yep.
16 teams, all right? You have to have some sort of warm-up, so maybe 2 to 3 week training clap. Warm up, whatever you want, right? But then 1 to 8, one game elimination, that takes care of your first round. 3-game best of 3 series in the second round. Conference finals is best of five or seven, and then the finals is best of seven.
The first round is a one game. It's like each game's a Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to go for that. I don't think they're going to go for the one game series. Although I do like it. It's outside the box, so I'll give you that one, Sorgia. But yeah, if it's the if it's one game, that's the Celtics tough. Might be able to beat the Sixers, maybe instead of a seven game.
You know, one game kind of invalidates the season. I honestly think they want these playoff series to be. I would like to see them. They want them to be best of seven. I think they should go back to the old best of five for the first round.
Agree.
You know,
strong agree.
I'd be all right with that.
Yeah,
I'd be okay with that.
Just go back to the old best. That's enough.
Yeah.
Go back to the old best of five for the first round. You don't have to play.
Best of five brought us some great moments.
Did. Yeah. Like the
Mutombo.
Like Mutombo and the Nuggets beating the Sonics, the first 8-1.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one I can think of right now, but that was a great
1994?
Moment.
1994?
Yeah.
There's a Heat. The Knicks beat the Heat in the best of five.
That's right.
First round. I think that was 99 on their way
point.
To the finals. I have a question for you guys, though, in terms of any playoff format here, period, for the NBA, given how this season obviously is going to have an asterisk no matter what, is a play-in incentive to have, like, better TV ratings and stuff like that just to, again, get more revenue? Do you think that would influence the NBA here, or do you think that they want to make it, you know, as pure as possible given the circumstances?
I think they look at this as an interesting opportunity to experiment, to try and find a silver lining in what is a massive negative for their business. And these are concepts, as you know, B-Rob, that they've bandied about for a while. And there's some things that Silver's interested in, particularly some of the soccer-style concepts. And some of this stuff is related to tanking and all that. And
right.
Here's an opportunity in a relatively risk-free environment to try some of that stuff out and see what it looks like in practice, whether it's 100% fair or not. Because to your point, you know, look, I've written this too. No matter how you do this for any of these sports that are restarting, the competitive integrity has already been shattered. I mean, you can't take 2.5-3 months off and say it's a continuation of the same season. To B-Rob's point about people like Nurkic, Adam Jones's favorite center, being eligible to play now and healthy, and, you know, Kemba Walker's had time to rest his knee, it's like a completely different deal. Like, the competitive continuity of the season is broken already. So I think they look at it and say, okay, maybe we can experiment with some stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the best you can hope for at this point. You can try and have everything go back to normal, but it's never going to be completely back to normal. You know, it's never going to look normal. No one's ever going to consider this normal. So you can try and push on and say, we're just going to do it like we always do it. Or you can try some other things out here that maybe you've been thinking about and maybe actually could help your sport out long term, too. Ryan's in Woonsocket before the break. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, two quick ideas that I haven't heard. Number one, why don't you just finish the regular season in the playoffs as we were going to do it? And then number two, if you're not going to do it that way, then why don't you just take all the teams that have been mathematically eliminated, take them out, play out the rest of the regular season, and then shorten the first round to best of five?
That's not a bad idea. Just remove everybody who's mathematically eliminated, which is, well, if you're finishing the regular season, that's less teams.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to get to 82.
You're not doing that.
Honestly, for me, I think if they can get to 70, which I think you guys were saying is the magic regional sports network number, like, I don't even think you need to get to 72. I think if you can get to 70, that means teams are playing 4 or 5 games. That should be enough.
Yeah, I think that's plenty. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Quick break. Back to your calls right after this. The Sports Hub. We're back here. Gasper and Arkand. No Murray. He'll be back on Tuesday. And by the way, that also means no Arkand Sunday service tomorrow. I apologize to my congregation. But Joe Murray will be in. Not Jim Murray. Joe Murray will be taking over at the, what do you call that? The lectern, I guess? On the altar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can call it. There is a specific name for it. I can't recall it right now.
He'll be preaching the gospel to you folks tomorrow morning.
The Joe Show.
The Joe Show, yes. The Joe service, which will be tremendous, as it always
Church
is.
Church of Joe.
Beginning at, the gospel according to Joe, starting at 10 o'clock. So, yeah, no Arkand Sunday service, but you will have Murray tomorrow. And then we're all off on Monday. I think it's all classic games and everything on Monday, and then we're all back to normal on Tuesday, or as normal as we get around here these days, as the summer will officially be beginning. And, we do have the five questions coming up, Gasper.
Oh, you have it?
Murray's not here, but even when he's not here, the silent partner involved, who you know always always comes through with the questions.
Tracy, the true mastermind.
Tracy, the kingpin of all of this, the godmother, if you will, of this program, did send me some questions, so we will do those. But in the meantime, we have a chance here to sort of anything else from the week. We spent most of the time on The Last Dance, on Tom Brady, also on sports reopening, and now this NBA stuff that we just got here. Anything else from the week that we may have missed? Any football-related stuff, baseball, hockey? I feel like we covered most of the big stories here, Gasper.
I do too, man.
But did anything fall off our radar from the week?
The only thing I would say is, did you have an opinion? We don't have to talk about it, or if callers want to talk about it, but just on the proposed NFL rule changes, I thought that one about doing away with the onside kick and having instead you would be able to take a 4th and 15
yes.
from your own 25, and you can only do it twice a game. I like that.
It's like that Wiggy math now.
Yeah, I like that. I think that would be kind of cool.
5-point field goal from the 50-yard line.
And Felger's like, yes, wait, no. No, never mind.
It's like, keep talking. I don't know what you're saying, but keep talking. Yeah, I saw that. I liked it. What were some of the other ones? Penalties or scoring plays that were taken away by penalties, turnovers or scoring plays that were negated by penalties. But actually, you might be able to help me with this.
Okay.
I had a question about this that I don't quite get. So they want to go back and review scoring plays or turnovers that were negated by penalties, and then what? Undo the penalties? Is that what we're talking? Like, you can go back, look at it, and say, "Oh no, there wasn't holding there, so let's give them the ball back and do it again." Is that what they're going to do? Because that seems very counterintuitive to what they're looking for here. You're going to start going back and undoing penalties now?
I think so. I mean, it says to be discussed will be making permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any extra point attempt.
I understand they were doing that for pass interference.
So I think the idea is, like, you know, you can throw the flag, but don't blow the whistle. Let the play continue.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Okay. That seems like that's going to be a lot of time in the review booth. That one of the other proposed rules was there was going to be a booth official.
Yes, and they won't call it a sky judge. I like that one, too.
Yeah.
They won't say sky judge, but they're just saying an 8th official. But I like that. They should do that.
I'm into that. I think that's a fine idea. And there was one more weird rule. I forget what the proposal. Do you have the list right there?
Let me try and call it.
What else do we have here?
Let's see. Booth umpire. We have that. We talked about that. The alternative onside kick. We talked about that. Onside kicks, by the way, have really down. This is according to ESPN. Since they changed the onside kick, the kickoff rules, basically, and there's no more running starts. Since the start of 2018, the recovery rate on onside kicks has been 10.5%. From 2001 to 2017, it was 19.5%.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So I feel like last year there was a bunch of weeks in a row where guys were recovering onside kicks.
Well, didn't the Falcons have a game where they had like multiple ones recovered? But it's not easy.
Huh.
Here's the other one that maybe there's a. Oh, here's one that's there.
I can't believe it was ever at 20%.
19.5 from 2001 to 2017. Two rules. That are interesting. One particularly relevant, I think, for Patriots fans. The first one is expanding defenseless player protection to returners.
Okay.
I don't really care about that. Hmm. This one, closing the Belichick-Vrabel loophole on the punts.
Yes, that was the
That's
other one.
That's the one you must have been thinking
no
of.
No more committing penalties on purpose to stop the clock.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Correct. And I'm pretty sure they're going to wipe that one out. That's going to get passed.
Yeah, that was, I mean, well, Bill and... what's his name in Tennessee? They were both
Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel were both.
I thought it was kind of awesome that Vrabel used it against him. To be honest, I mean, I thought it was genius for Bill to come up with it, but then it was pretty funny that it got used against him.
How about the Patriots and Bill not proposing anything this year? He usually throws something in the ring.
He does. It's
pylon cameras. There's been other things. You know, Bill's often very active with this. And this year, he's just like, nope, Philadelphia Eagles, you guys go ahead and put out all the proposals you want to. I'm staying out of it this year. I wonder if there's something to that. You know, maybe this offseason for Bill was more about other things and the rules committee and all that. It just wasn't as important to him this year. Because I feel like there's still always ways you can dink around with the rules and things you can add. And I'm sure Bill has suggestions and ideas. But this year, he didn't formally propose anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's something he's really passionate about, you know, he'll do it. I think other times it's not, you know, I think he doesn't really necessarily I think, embrace participating in sort of the NFL apparatus that is required to get these rule changes initiated. But remember, the extra point rule, I mean, that was Bill. You know, the reason we have the 33-yard extra point was Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's
true. Or is Bill Belichick.
That's true. And pylon cams, too. Wasn't he pylon cams?
He wants that. He's been asking about that for years, and I think he's dead on that, by the way.
There aren't pylon cams?
No.
I mean, there are,
but it's like it's not uniform in every state, in every stadium.
I thought everybody had them.
Am I wrong? I didn't think they did.
You're probably right. I'll defer to you because you're usually right. I'm generally incorrect about everything.
I thought it was just the broadcast, like some of the broadcasters have, but I don't think it's at every stadium, every game.
I thought they all had them.
That'd be pretty cool if they do.
That's too bad. All right. Well, there you go. NFL rules.
There you go, in a nutshell.
And we will come back with five questions that don't have anything to do with sports. 401 Christopher Gasper.
Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Chris Gasper of Channel 5. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five! One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
I hadn't heard the remix with the updated job title. Remix!
Yes, he did. He did. He did it. He remixed it.
Select a rewind. Very nice. All right. Five questions here for Chris Gasper, brought to you by Tracy Clement. I also have a bonus question if we can get to
it. Okay.
So let's begin with question number one.
Okay.
Summer jobs. At the beginning of summer, Chris Gasper.
Yep.
Summer jobs you had as a teen or maybe a little older. What was the best one and what was the worst one?
Let's see. The best one I had, I was basically just working in an office, an air-conditioned office, filing.
Cool.
And I had a really cool coworker.
This was the best one?
Yeah, and we would play basketball during our lunch break. And I did have to wear, like, dress clothes, but we would play basketball during our lunch break and then, like, come back, clean up a little bit. It was fun. The job was good. The people were nice. I mean, air conditioning. The worst one was working at a shoe store, like a discount shoe store.
Yeah.
That was tough.
That sounds tough.
People really want their shoes, and if they can find the left one, they want you to find the right one.
Yeah. My favorite summer job I ever had, I was a counselor at this basketball camp up in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It was Plymouth State. It was this guy. I think his name was Paul Hogan, and it was called Shooter's Gold.
Oh, cool.
And I was at the camp one year, and then I became a counselor there, and it was awesome. All the other counselors were like college kids. They were all older than me, but I had a really, really good time. That was my favorite summer job by far. All right, moving on. When you do or did go shopping, do you return the shopping cart to the cart corral because you're a good person, or do you leave it anywhere because it's not like you're going to get in trouble? Now, this was a meme that was out this week or maybe the week before, basically judging people by how they treat the cart in the cart corral in the grocery store, and it was basically a dividing line between good and bad people. So where do you stand on this?
I always return it to the thing, or, like, honestly, a lot of times if I see the person who's corralling the carts is out there and they've corralled a bunch of them, I will return the cart to them. I will push the cart all the way back to the front of the store and hand it to them directly.
If you're driving through the parking lot and you see a loose cart, do you hit it?
No, I move it out of the way. I hit it with my car.
I don't like hit it, but I'll push it along.
No,
just to do it. It's right there. It's fun. I don't know. I know that makes me probably a bad person in this example, but it's not like I left the cart out there. Someone else left it out there. I put my cart back in the corral. Someone else leaves a cart out in the parking lot. I'm hitting it. I'm hitting the thing. All right, moving on. Since you've been alive, if you could get in a DeLorean and go back to any year with Doc, what year would it be?
Oh, man, that's so hard.
That's a deep question.
That is
Tracy.
Like a deep, deep question.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's really tough. Maybe 1963 to find out what really happened to Kennedy. I'd park myself right in that grassy knoll.
You were alive in 1963?
Oh, I said it was any year I was alive.
Yeah. Any year,
I thought
it
said any year. Oh, any year I was
Since
alive?
Since you've been alive, if you could get in the
DeLorean.
Oh,
okay, I'm sorry. I missed that part of the question. Probably like early 90s, like maybe like, I don't know, 1991 or 92 when I was playing like sports with my friends and stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Go back to that. I think... I don't know, 86 sports-wise would be good to relive. I was only four or three and a half, I guess, when all that was happening. That'd be cool to see as an adult. But yeah, other than that, I don't care. None of these years have been all that great.
Maybe 1984. I mean, I was alive, but it's like I have very little recollection of that. But just, I don't know, it seems like a cool year. Like, I love the 80s, 84, 85. Like, the 80s were the best. Best movies, best culture, like, you know, all that stuff.
80s were pretty cool. All right, moving on. Favorite cereal mascot of all time? Count Chocula, Tony the Tiger, Trix Rabbit, Sugar Bear, etc. Your favorite?
Trix Rabbit.
Trix Rabbit?
Yeah.
What's so great about the Trix Rabbit?
I love the episode of The Family Guy where they have like a Trix Rabbit who says, no, this whole silly rabbit thing. But they're like, yeah. They say like silly rabbit. And he says, no, you have to share. And then he's like, you know, sort of like a ninja. And he starts like breaking the kids' necks and like kicking them to take the cereal. It's a really funny Family Guy episode. And that's why the Trix Rabbit is my favorite.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah. I'm a Toucan Sam fan, I think.
Oh, I could see Toucan. I like Tony the Tiger, too.
Yeah. Tony the Tiger's all right.
Brave, athletic, always exhorting you to get out there and do something.
Yeah. He's really a father figure for a lot of kids back
then. He's very positive, you know? He's telling you, you're great, the cereal's great, everything's great.
He's out there having a catch with the kid, like the father's nowhere at. Tony the Tiger's
Tony
father,
the Tiger,
basically.
Man. Yeah.
Tony the Tiger was our surrogate father all those years.
Pretty much.
Him and, what's his name, from Full House? Danny Tanner. Danny Tanner and Tony the Tiger were our fathers growing up. It's sad, but it's true. All right, this is an important one here, Gasper. Jones and I have been, well, really, we had a drag-out fight about this yesterday. B-Rob, you were there. Is ketchup an acceptable topping for a hot dog, yes or no?
No.
Thank you. Thanks. See?
It's not.
It's nice to have an adult in the room, finally. Between Jones and B-Rob and Mason last night, it was the ketchup brigade. Everybody acting like ketchup, something that you put on your hot dog past the age of 11, was just, oh, I couldn't take it. And listen, ketchup is fine. Ketchup on its own, whatever. It's very sugary. I think that's why all these children like it so much. You know, a lot of sugar in ketchup. But on a hot dog, no. Mustard. Mustard, maybe relish, a little sauerkraut I enjoy. Anything, just not ketchup. I can't with the ketchup. I don't understand it. I'll put ketchup with my fries because that's what fries come with. And I'll even have a little ketchup on my burger even. But putting ketchup on a hot dog to me is like putting ketchup on steak. It's childish. You just don't do it.
No, I'm with you.
Do you have any other hot condiment takes? Because we exhausted them all last night. Do you have a hot condiment take?
Not really. I mean, no. I mean, you know, mustard on hot dogs I like.
Are you anti-mayonnaise?
I am. I like mayonnaise on a sandwich, but I mean, I'm not a huge mayonnaise person. I'll tell you this. I don't really like a lot of, take condiments on it, but I just don't like putting like a lot of junk on a hot dog.
Mm.
Like bacon bits and stuff. Like, I'm not down for that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's this place near my apartment called, I think it's called Spike's Junkyard Dogs.
Yeah.
And they do everything to these hot dogs. I've only beaten there a couple times and I liked it every time I've been there. But I looked at their menu and they got all sorts of stuff on these hot dogs. I mean, ketchup, forget about ketchup. Like they got sauces I've never even heard of they're putting on the Spike's Junkyard Dogs. But like chili dogs and stuff, I'm fine with all that. I just, the ketchup, man. Ugh. I don't understand how you can be an adult and still put ketchup on your hot dog. Blows my mind. It really does.
Some people who like it really like it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do, because, you know, they're all very young and they haven't experienced anything else. Someone said, Jones was like, oh, that's Main Street eating ketchup. No, that's Sesame Street putting ketchup on your hot dogs.
You guys, I can't believe you guys were trash-talking over this.
It was almost the entire show.
Oh, wow.
And finally, here's the bonus question.
Okay.
90s comedian Paula Poundstone, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down?
Yeah.
Not why?
I'm just not
because of the stuff in her personal life, or is it just you don't like her comedy?
I just never thought she was that funny.
Was it? Now, can you remember any of her bits? Because we've been playing a lot of Paula Poundstone on the show this week.
Not really. No.
She has a bit about Pop-Tarts and how they're packaged, which killed in the special that we were listening from. She has one about cats, which I actually liked, and one about Slim Jims. So
no,
that's a thumbs down on Paula Poundstone.
Thumbs down on Paula Poundstone. She's just not that funny.
Pro ketchup, anti Paula Poundstone. We know where Chris Gasper stands on that. Among
I'm anti ketchup.
Yes, right. What did I say? Pro
you
ketchup.
Said pro ketchup.
Oh no, you're right. Okay, yeah, you're anti ketchup, anti Poundstone.
Correct.
All right, we got it. There you go. All right. Well, that's all the time we have here today, Gasper. A pleasure as always, sir.
Right back at you, man.
B-Rob, great job back there, and stay tuned. We got some classic Patriots coming your way. Patriots and the Steelers coming up right now here on the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.